Okay, so I've been asked to give my testimony. I'll just go back. So my plan is to give you a bit of the testimony of my experiences. Unlike some testimonies you hear, it wasn't an Emmaus Road type experience. There wasn't one sort of huge moment where that was it and that was my faith. It was a bit more gradual. I am hoping by the end you'll have also been a bit challenged in your faith and what and how you experience your faith. So as the passage from 2 Timothy mentions, often faith does actually pass down the generations. I was really fortunate in that my parents are Christians, my grandparents are Christians, and they've encouraged me in my faith. I know as I go through life and different stages of life, they are praying for me, and that's a huge encouragement. My dad is a vicar, so I've always grown up in church. I've always been to church, and always been a Christian. Growing up in a Christian household is a huge blessing. Having family who are strong in their faith, that are praying for you, encouraging you in your faith, as well as in the rest of life, is such a blessing. In particular, growing up as a vicar's kid, you get to know the ins and outs of the church. And you get to know almost everyone in the church, and get to know them as an extended family. That's one of the real strengths the church has. As a result of that, I've always believed in God. I've always believed that the Christian faith is true. However, that doesn't necessarily mean life has been easy. Secondary school is an interesting place to be. I'm now there again as a teacher, for better or worse. But as a student, there were several students at school that decided they didn't want to be my friends. They didn't want me part of the friendship group. And decided to reject me. So I ended up being an outcast of sorts and spending time with people from other years that I'd known through church. That didn't seem at the time to be a huge deal, but I realise in hindsight that has had a real impact on me. That being rejected over and over again by them has really affected my self-confidence and my self-image. Despite reservations of some of the teachers at my sixth form, I did listen to the encouragement of some other teachers and my parents, and I applied to Oxford University. I wasn't actually expecting to get in, because I've been told, you don't have enough A's at GCSE, there is no way you are going to get into Oxford University. I was like, well, I'm going to try anyway, and see what happens. And to my surprise, I did get a place, and I went to Oxford to study maths, which was great fun. Maths is fun. So once arriving in Oxford, I embarked on the journey of finding a church. After a few weeks, I settled on a church called Oxford Community Church, mainly due to the welcoming nature of the people there. And that's such an important point. It is so important for us to be welcoming and inclusive. We have welcomes on the door often. They do a fantastic job to make sure that people are welcome, but it is all of our jobs to make sure that people are welcome in the church. And that at that church is where my life really started to change. The main change was the fact that I realised that God cared about me. And my identity wasn't in being rejected, but the fact that God cared for me. The truth that I've known in my head for all these years became a truth that I knew in my heart. And that impacted my life. Belief in God, knowledge of Christ and what he had done for me is one thing, but having the relationship with the living God is yet another. I realised that what was important wasn't how people at school had treated me, but the fact that I was known and loved by God. That he cared about me, about who I was, and that I could have a personal relationship with him was more important than what other people said or did. As the passage says, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. God has not made us to be timid. He has given us his Spirit to be strong, to be full of love. He has personally loved us and cares hugely about each one of us. So the main transition for me was that head knowledge going to a heart knowledge, which is why I'm at the top. So if you look at Matthew 10, it describes how sparrows could be sold for 2 for a penny, really cheap. Yet God cares and knows about each one. And if something that cheap is cared about by God, then how much more does he care about us? He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the detail of what goes on in our heads and our hearts. In 1 John it talks about the vast love of God, how we are children of God, individually loved by him, loved even more than we are by our family and friends, an unwavering love in full knowledge of all the wrong we have done. We do commit sins, we do wrong, but God still loves us, knowing about each one of those things. In Romans 8, it tells us how we've been adopted by God into sonship, how we are heirs of God, heirs to his kingdom. That's not a choice that God would have taken lightly, but that he loves us that much, he has made us sons. And it's an amazing truth that God, the creator of the whole world, wants to be in personal relationship with each one of us. He wants each of us to know that he loves for us, that we can have confidence because he loves us, and that is what is important. It's easy for the life to take over, for our focus to be on the busyness and the stresses of work, or of school, or of family, instead of our focus being on living a godly life. If we believe with our heart that God is King, that he loves us, then it should affect each moment of each day of our lives. It should affect our relationships with friends, our relationships with colleagues, even people we don't like as much. That should all be impacted by how God loves us. It should affect how we do our work. Going into school, knowing that God loves each one of those kids, regardless of how irritating some of them can be, God loves them. And that is what's important. And that should affect how I do my job. It should affect the amount of work I put into each bit of my job. Equally, some jobs it might not seem as obvious, but how we do our work should be affected by how much we're loved by God. It also should affect how we spend our relaxation time, trying to do that in a godly way. Even at church, it's easy to slip into a religious perspective of our faith. We go to church, maybe go to a small group, a few prayer meetings, but not... Actually, it's just kind of an attendance, and it's not something that's... if it doesn't affect us, then that's not what God intended. So, question for you. What does being part of church mean to you? Does it mean being part of a religion? Something you do every week? A place where you show up for services? Does it mean a personal relationship with God? Do you know that God loves you? That you are loved regardless of what you think of yourself? Regardless of what you do? Regardless of what everyone else thinks of you? Does your life reflect the fact that you are known and loved by the creator of the universe? I'm just going to give you a minute to think about that. Before I move on to the next sort of section, in a way, we are going to have another reading from 1 Corinthians. So Marion, could you come up and do the second reading?
So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Concerning spiritual gifts. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one, just as he determines.
In this passage, Paul's discussing the spiritual gifts. The first thing to notice is that the Spirit is inside anyone who says Jesus is Lord. Therefore, if you say that, the Spirit is inside you. Whether or not you're aware of that presence of the Spirit, he is inside you. A lot of people see the spiritual gifts as something scary, something which is quite different to what a lot of us may have experienced, unless you've seen that Spirit acting on individuals. Secondly, you'll notice there's quite a lot of different gifts listed. It's a message of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. And there's still more in other passages. As verse 6 says, these are for the common good. We should be able to use these gifts to edify the church, to help bring God's kingdom on this earth. Therefore, as it says in chapter 14, we should eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Going back to my testimony, the biggest step in my journey to the fact that God cared for me was the moment when God healed me. I was on the student weekend away with my church. I went to a seminar on prayer for healing, during which the person running it was praying for people who were being healed. I had the belief that God could heal, so I thought it was cool, but not a lot more. As it happened, I was sitting at the back and observing. Just after the final call for anyone else wanting prayer, I timidly mentioned that my back was hurting. They'd prayed for quite a lot of people's backs. Often when the back's hurting, it's something to do with misalignment of vertebrae. If it's in the top of half of your back, it often results in your arms not quite lining up if you sort of throw them together. If in the lower back, then the legs can appear to be slightly different lengths. So they sat me down in a chair and put my legs out, and they were indeed slightly different. The left leg was slightly longer than the right. So the people there were praying for me, and the right leg began to grow. Slightly weird sensation. And then it grew, and it grew, and it actually went slightly beyond the left leg. So the person praying asked me, did I want to be taller or shorter? So I said taller, and they prayed, and the left leg then grew out to meet it. For the rest of that day, I was walking around and I felt quite tall. But something more than that had changed. That evening, when we met to worship, I knew something was different. And I felt God in a way that I had never done before. I knew that he was in me. I knew that he was with me. It was personally experiencing the power of God that made that difference. Knowing that he cared for me and was using his power to heal me. And even that, it wasn't a huge problem with my back. It was just an irritation. It wasn't necessary, but God used his power for that. That just that one touch from God does change everything. And that is amazing. Whilst at church in Oxford, that church was expectant for the presence of God. There was an expectation on a Sunday that God would speak. There was an expectation that people would hear from God and that they would share it. That's the prophecy that was talking about. There was the expectation that God would perform miracles. There was an expectation that the gifts of God would be visible within the church. Being submerged in that culture of expectation and having experienced God's power personally, it helped me to get to know God better. And it's influenced the rest of my life since. And what I, and I know others in the church, would earnestly like to see is the Spirit of God moving. To see people being healed. To see people prophesying over each other. To see people speaking in tongues. To see people interpreting those tongues. So if you look at that list, what would you like to see happening? What would you like? Which of those gifts would you like God to give you? Again, let's just take a moment to think. Pray that God would fill us afresh with his Spirit. One more bit, so Maren, can we have one more, last reading from Ephesians chapter 4?
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
Okay, so once we've understood a bit of our identity in Christ and acknowledged that he has given us gifts for our lives, it's up to us to discern how God has called us to use it. Calling is quite a scary word. There's quite a lot of different meanings for that. Some people know this is what God has called me to do with my life, which is amazing. That's not actually something I've had. It's something that I'm sort of continuing to argue slightly with God about. But there are some things that I do know. And I know that he has called me to be where I am now. He has called me to be a maths teacher. That's not particularly spiritual. It's not within the church. But that is how God has made me. He has given us each gifts in life, we do need to work out exactly what our role is, our role within the church and our role beyond. The reason I stuck to this passage is I think it's quite a useful way of working out what our role could be. You've got the apostle, the people that know about the word, that keep us grounded. The prophets that hear from God and tell us what God is saying, give us a bit of an insight. The evangelists who love to go out and share God's word with the people around us and to help bring people in. We've got the pastors who love to care for people and look after the people within the church and other people beyond. Teachers that love to share and to tell us about God's word. Whilst in general, people do have elements of all five. We have all been called to bring people into the kingdom. We are all called to be evangelists. Some people have more of a gift for that than others, though. Often, people specialise in one or two. So we can use those to give us some understanding of the areas in which life God has called us and to discern what we should do. For me, I've always had a caring persona. I've always cared passionately for those around me, for my friends, for my family. I've always worked with younger kids as well. Initially, just playing with them at church, or when they visited our home, as lots did. Later, I taught sailing, which was great fun, more recently, teaching maths. Our calling is more than that in the church. Each bit of our lives is spiritual. God cares about all the areas of our lives. We are called to our workplaces. We are called into our families, our friendship groups, our social activities, and our church. And it's important we find our place within each of those that God has called us to. Not just doing what's convenient, not just doing what we've done because we've done it for ages, but doing what God has called us to do. Each aspect of how we spend our time should be devoted to God. How we spend our day today at work, what we do at church, how we spend our free time. If you have a gift of hospitality, then be hospitable. Being on the welcome team or serving teas and coffees is a great way of doing that within the church, but there's other ways as well. If your gift is prophesying, then share what God is saying to people. To the people around you, or to the wider church. If it's praying for people or a gift of healing, then being on the prayer support team is fantastic. Such a great opportunity. If your gift is teaching or working with the children and youth, then supporting the children and youth work is fantastic. Again, seeing the difference God makes. If you're doing something different than what you think you're called to, and think about whether you might need to shift your efforts to be able to think about what God has, to be able to do what God has equipped you to do. So again, what do you think God might be calling you to do? Do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what God's calling to you to do within the church? What should you be changing about how you do in life as a result of what God has called you to? Lord, I pray you will show us who you have made us to be. I pray you will show us how much you care about us, that we may truly know your deep and profound love. May we know a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray you'll fill each of us afresh with your Spirit, that we may know that you go with us, that we may see the fruit and gifts of your Spirit. May your Spirit work within each of us for the benefit of the whole church and your kingdom on this earth. And finally, may we know your calling on our lives. May we know how to use the gifts that you have given each of us. May we know what you want us to do in the church and beyond. Amen.